The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sablicki.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
Are living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Thanks for joining the show today. Bernie, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join this conversation. 802-655-6672. Or you can join us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number. You know that's what the kids are doing nowadays, buddy. They're texting. And by the way, I just joined Instagram. Okay, I don't know how to Instagram. I don't know what it means. My wife hooked me up, and I'm on Instagram now.
Good.
Coach JP, too, if you want to follow me on Instagram. I don't know how to put any pictures up, but that's what I'm doing now. I'm Instagramming.
I can teach you.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're here to help me. That'd be good. Anyway,
what is Instagram?
I have no idea. I think you can put pictures online, and
it's like Twitter, but it's picture-centric.
Yeah, there you go.
It's
picture-centric. Yes, it's all good, and I'm part of that world now, so Brian, okay. I just want you to know. But anyway, you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line. That's what the kids are doing now at the same number, 802-655-6672. If you're listening to the show weekly, you know that for the last 2 weeks, Bernie has asked Aaron to play my beloved Virginia Cavaliers losing the game to UMBC, the first 16 seed to beat a 1 seed, and Virginia being the overall number 1 seed was ousted of the tournament after one game. I had a couple weeks where Bernie was kind of in my face, and I just want you to recognize, Bernie, that I actually could have done this morning.
Allen's career is going to come to an end here with a long shot that drops with only 3 seconds to go. And that is going to do it. Kansas is still dancing and heading to San Antonio.
But I'd like you to know that I didn't do that. Okay. I just want you to know it's Easter weekend. You know, it's a holy time of year. You know, you want to do on to your fellow man. And so today I decided I know Aaron had it ready to go. And I said, no, Aaron, we're not going to start the show and do that to Bernie. I don't want to hurt his feelings.
But here's the thing. You guys are such bad liars. You couldn't even pull it off.
What are you talking about?
Right before the show, you're texting him and saying, hey, make sure you check your phone. And you're saying, oh, it's Brady about the Sports Center update. And, you know, then you're making comments. You guys totally tripped over.
We dropped the ball on that.
You tripped over yourself.
Oh, I should have just kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Anyways, that's what I mean. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at trying to make you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. That's just not who I am.
But here's the thing.
What?
Kansas was the 1 seed. Duke was the 2 seed.
They were
supposed
to matter.
They were supposed to lose.
First of all, Duke
supposed to lose.
I don't care what the seed was.
You know,
I'm just saying. You're out, too.
Yeah.
You're out, too. Duke's out, too.
Okay, great.
Anyway.
Congratulations.
So anyway, I wasn't going to do that this morning, so I just want you to know I did not lead the show off with that. That's just not how I roll.
Nah, that's okay, man.
I just don't do those things.
I can appreciate that.
655-6672 if you want to join the conversation. Before we get into a little baseball and all the things we got to talk about because we have some show today, congratulations to Trey Bellhaines. I mean, what a great opportunity. Last night hits 4 free throws in a row, but the last two are the one that iced the game for the All-Star team out in, they're playing out in San Antonio at the Alamo Dome. And he's also named All-American this week. I mean, what a week to be him.
Yeah, and, you know, honorable mention, All-American, just a great honor, you know, just continues to build his resume. And even after the great conclusion of that game, you know, he's playing in that 3-on-3 tournament with Peyton Henson. And they beat the Mountain West and the Big South yesterday.
Yeah.
And now they're the top of pool number 8 in their standings, and they're going to play the team Missouri Valley at 11:35 today.
So basically, there's a 3-on-3 tournament. Each conference has 3 players,
yep.
And Vermont has 2 of those players.
4.
Oh, yeah. Okay, right. You have a sub. So Vermont has 2 kids on this, Haynes, yep. and Henson. And so they're playing the Mountain West today at 11:35?
The Missouri Valley.
Missouri
They've
Valley
already
Conference.
Beaten the Mountain West and the Big South.
Wow, that's amazing. So we'll keep. So it starts at 11:35. We can keep people up to date till noon.
Yep, and you can watch the tournament action on the 3-on-3 Hoops Twitter page. If you just Google that, they'll have it on there.
Oh, very cool.
It's pretty exciting.
It is. It's neat. And I think it says a lot about the athletes. Again, we talk about UVM's. We talk about all of UVM sports a lot here, but obviously being so close to basketball season, you know, this has been some historical team, and we know that it didn't end the way we expected it to end, especially for these players. But what an honor to be representing your conference. I mean, this is a fairly big conference, a lot of good players in it. You know, 2 of them come from Vermont, and now they're, you know, they've beaten 2 conferences, and now they're moving on to taking on another power conference.
Yeah, let's see what happens. And, you know, it's interesting because it's got to be a senior because, you know, there's incentive money involved.
Yep.
And, so, you know, like a lot of these guys, you know, conferences, a lot of their better players might be juniors,
yep.
in the conference. So
that's true.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. More basketball news. Last night, a huge upset in women's college basketball with UConn, who I think is averaging beating everybody this year by like 78 points or something like that.
As usual.
Gets upset by Notre Dame in the semifinals. I mean, truth be told, I love watching UConn. I mean, UConn basketball is spectacular. And I've told you guys a story about me and Gino Auriemma when I was like 10 years old, 8
right.
years old. I think I'm kind of the reason he's at UConn, but that's no big deal.
No.
But well, that's okay. Maybe. But anyway,
no.
His team this year was loaded. I mean, when they won games by 20 or 25 points, you felt like they didn't play well.
Right.
They rolled people, embarrassed people, and Notre Dame pulls off is it the greatest upset in women's college basketball history?
Could it have been last year's semifinal loss by UConn?
Well, I don't know, because I think last year's team, the expectation wasn't as great as this year's team was. I think that last year's team, I think even the coaching staff and the players would tell you they kind of overachieved last year.
Yes, but I mean, at the end of the day, great game, unbelievable shot. Notre Dame playing without 4 players due to injury still finds a way to win and get there. But the thing that is totally overlooked in all this for UConn, we talk about the University of Vermont, and we talk about their seniors and, you know, what a run they had. How about this graduating class at UConn? 148-3
Amazing.
With 2 national championships.
Amazing.
And the only thing that really people remember is these last 2 losses in the national semifinals.
But let's be honest here, though. I mean, when you talk UConn women's basketball, that's a program that has dominated women's basketball for years and years and years. And when you win the amount of games that they win and you do it the way they do it, for the exception of last year, where I think even Gino Auriemma would tell you that last year's
team. They had
Breonna
Stewart.
I understand what they had last year, Bernie, but I don't think last year's team was the team that he felt. They weren't very, I don't think they were the team that he thought. And he even said after, I remember watching the game last year where I think the Mississippi State beat them last year.
Correct.
After that game, he said it, you know, like, look, we kind of overachieved for ourselves this year, where this year, this team was expected. I mean, this team was supposed to be it. And when you're beating teams by 25, 30 points, 50 points, 6 points a game.
They've lost 2 games in overtime at the buzzer in both games. How have they not achieved?
They have achieved. No one's saying they haven't achieved.
Right.
But when you do that, it's disappointing. It's got to be disappointing for a program that prides itself on national championships. And I'm not saying that they haven't done anything great. I mean, they've done amazing. But let's face it, they've dominated the landscape of women's college basketball forever. They have all the top players. It seems they have they get all the if Gino wants that kid, they come.
Did you see the girl in the McDonald's All American game that was dunking in the dunk contest?
Oh, I know, she's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, it's just reload, reload, reload. So the fact that they haven't won literally in 2 years is to me, it is fairly shocking. And with this team in particular, as dominant as they were, that's pretty shocking, especially with the play Notre Dame's down kids. And that was pretty amazing.
And that's why I guess basketball is great. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's hard to win every year, and we know that. I mean, they've lost 2 games in 2 years in overtime at the buzzer, maybe 3 games in 2 years. I could be wrong, but the point of the matter is they've lost like on last second buzzer beater in the national semifinals the last 2 years.
No, I agree. And again, I agree with where you're coming from. And I think in most cases when you talk about a program, if you're talking about any other program in the country, I think I would 100% agree with you. But when you talk about the UConn women's basketball program, and And I'm not saying they have any advantages because they don't have advantages, but they have they get who they want. They have the they're more resourceful. They're the only blue blood in college women's basketball, for the exception maybe Tennessee, which is not there anymore.
Right, and Virginia was pretty good back in the day.
I'm not saying they're right. But UConn right now is it. Yes. I mean, when you talk about blue bloods in men's college basketball, you got 6, 7, 8 teams. In women's college basketball, it's UConn and that's it.
Right. So let me and I think to the point of what you're saying is. Not a lot of people remember that Mississippi State lost to South Carolina in the national championship last year. Everybody remembers Mississippi State beating UConn in the series.
Sure.
And that, again, just goes to the brand of women's basketball being UConn, period, right. End of statement.
Exactly. There you go. That's the point. So I think it is kind of it's tough. I think that I don't know if the players should own it. I don't know if the coaching staff should own it. But that's a monumental upset. I know Notre Dame was a high seed, and they are also one of the powers in women's college basketball.
Four number one seeds made it.
I understand that, but UConn is beyond that one seed, man. I mean, when you look at what they did to South Carolina, the defending national champion, right. Dawn Staley, arguably one of the greatest coaches in college basketball, coming up, one of the greatest women's college basketball players and pro players to ever play the game. They dismantled South Carolina.
And again,
to think that Notre Dame could not only win the game, but I mean, let's say this: that Notre Dame could even come within a shot of winning the game, but then win it is shocking to me. I mean, I really am. I think it's a monumental upset. I really do. Even though the school, Notre Dame, on paper, you think, oh, it's going to be a good game, but that's monumental to me.
It is. It's a huge upset. I would kind of lean still that Mississippi State winning last year was a little bigger than this one because these two teams played earlier in the year,
yeah,
and it was a close game then. But, I mean, either way, UConn losing is always a surprise, and
yep.
It just, again, goes to the brand and what they have. And now Mississippi State gets Notre Dame in the championship tomorrow night.
Yeah, and there's some intrigue there now because now I think you feel like, oh, anybody can win now. I mean, when UConn's out,
I would say either Mississippi State or Notre Dame will win.
Well, that's a good call there. But, I mean, like, when you go in the game, it's not some clear – I would love to know what the line was in Vegas for that Notre Dame-UConn game.
15.
Was it? Really?
Yeah.
It was only 15 points?
Yeah.
Somebody got rich last night. Just to say on the
I thought it was like 9 or 10, but...
9 or 10?
Yeah, 9.5, 10, but...
I saw
15.
Then you made money on Notre Dame, because there's no way. If I was a betting man and I saw the line was 9 or 10 points with taking UConn, I would put my house on it, I think. I would have lost my house. That's how dominant Notre Dame. That's why UConn.
Thank God you don't bet.
That's a good thing I don't bet. By the way, I got a couple texts on here about one unnamed source said, "Ugh, I had made it this far without hearing the end of the Duke game. You killed me, Jeff." Okay,
thank
whatever.
You.
And
thank
then Aaron,
you.
Your mother texts, "Low blow, bring up the Duke loss. No Easter basket for you, Aaron."
Good.
Hashtag Duke Gear, Duke Girl. Hashtag Still Mourning. I mean, my God, does any of you people listen to this show? Listen to the abuse I've taken for 2 weeks about my Cavaliers? Like, I live and die with my Hoos. And I had to deal with that for two weeks. So
you dealt with it for 1 week.
Excuse me. When we started the show last week, he again led the show off with
UMBC. It was with
UMBC.
Duke winning.
No, it wasn't. Yes, it was
2 weeks ago, it was UMBC beating Virginia. Then last week, it was Duke getting to the Sweet 16.
Is that
16.
True?
Yes.
The second one
was Duke winning.
Oh, it was. Well, again, so that's the same thing anyway.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No,
it's the same thing. You're just rubbing it right in my face.
It was a happy moment, a victory. It wasn't
a
defeat.
Well, Duke's out.
I do want to know that under the Aaron Wells production reign, everyone's going to get some.
Oh,
like, that's just the way
that
it's going to
work.
Really, good.
Good,
and
okay.
I will come back. I can come back around even to the Patriots Super Bowl loss sometime if you guys want. Just let me know.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We'll tell you what we want to do when we want you to do it to you. I will tell you that.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, if you guys can figure it out, you might have got me this morning. I mean,
my lie was good.
He was fine.
It was when he blew it that my facial expression.
Well, see, but the best part with Jeff was when he said something, he had to turn and look at the wall because he couldn't.
I'm a bad liar. Let me tell you something. I threw my wife that surprise party. Remember back in October?
Yeah.
And I had this whole...
You were panicked.
I had this whole elaborate scheme and it almost fell through because somehow my Monica found out that her parents were in town. They live in Bangor, Maine.
No, because of that little like ping thing that you can follow.
Yeah, on the phone you can follow. So I had to...
But what is she doing following him?
That's weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
I turned my ping off. I don't want her to know where I am.
You turn your
time.
What off?
The ping on my phone.
Oh, okay.
Turn her phone. I turned the ping off. Anyway, the point is that I had to
Was it on last night?
No. Ping's not on. Anyway, I was in the bathroom. I walked in my house. I went immediately to the bathroom, looked at myself in the mirror and said, "Jeff, you got to keep it together. Because if I'm lying to you, I can't keep a straight face.
You can't.
I can't do it." And that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem that I have right there is I'm like, you have to, you know, so I had to go and I had to lie to my wife to make sure that, you know, I'd planned this huge party for her. And I, you know, I lied very well, like to admit, you know, I did a good job. Aaron Murphy, number one Duke fan. She just put, like, the Duke fans just keep coming out in support of you, Bernie.
Well, I appreciate that.
Where was the love for me? I mean, I'm just a lowly Cavalier fan. I'm just a lowly Virginia Cavalier fan.
Who got the
fan.
AP Coach of the Year. Oh, congratulations.
And he's so well-deserved. He's the best coach in the nation. He is the best coach in the nation. Tony Bennett. Check him out if you don't know who we're talking about here.
Oh, man. Folks. Come on, man.
Hey, listen.
Just enjoy the Snoop Dogg.
Listen. Oh, like a little Snoop. Yeah, listen, take a quick break. When we come back, look, I don't know if you know or not, Bernie, but Odell Beckham might be out of New York. You probably
Jeff,
know
why,
that, right?
Why are we talking about the Giants? It's baseball season. There's no NFL draft. There's nothing.
Hey, we got a lot to talk about on this show, but coming up next, we got our great Giants insider and featured columnist in Bleacher Report, Patricia Traina, giving us the inside scoop. Front row edition here of New York Giants. Is Odell Beckham going to be here? He's going to leave. He's going to hold out. Who are the Giants going to take with the number two pick?
Trade it.
We'll be right back.
Let's go, yo.
Good morning, everybody. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Sports Saturday. Big day here for Sports Saturday. Interesting talk this week from the NFL. And I know that our haters out there hate when we talk Giants out of season, but I try to keep things as pertinent as I can. I mean, I try to.
And when you're as bad as the Giants are and you have so much drama around them, they're pertinent right now.
They are. And with what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr. and this news and this back and forth of, is he going to go? Is he not going to go? Does he want to go? Is he going to hold out? What's Gettleman going to do? I thought, this is important stuff. I think it's important for the whole NFL. Right?
Well, I'm a Giants fan, so I think it's important.
And who better to talk Giants than our good friend, senior editor from Inside Football and featured columnist on the Bleacher Report. Did we lose her?
Give me like 2 minutes.
All right, Aaron. Okay, Aaron. We'll give you a little reprieve on that. We lost Patricia.
See, that's what you get.
There you go.
But hey, it is a big deal with Odell Beckham. That's like a top three wide receiver who might go somewhere. So
exactly.
Just talk about that while I go get
him. Okay.
Well,
that's
what you get for heckling me with Duke.
No, it's listen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
okay. Well, there. Fair enough.
Okay. And well, but wait. The top three wide receiver. Who's number one and number two? Guys who've never won a Super Bowl. Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, those guys haven't won a Super Bowl. Get him out.
What are you talking about?
Get Odell out.
Odell is become a problem. I mean, I don't know how else you say it. I think he's become more of a problem. I think that's the biggest thing. I think we have Patricia back. Let's just make sure here. Hold on. Are we good with her now? All right, we have Patricia Traina finally. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Sorry for Aaron's ineptness. You know, he hit the wrong button as usual, so we apologize for that.
Not a problem at all.
I'm just kidding with Aaron. Aaron's the best in the business. Anyway, it's probably my fault because I don't know what the heck's going on in here. But anyway, here we go. So, interesting week if you're a Giants fan or even if you're an NFL fan with the Odell Beckham situation. You know, what are you hearing? What are you seeing? And what's taking place as of right now, you think?
Okay, the Odell Beckham situation, I'll be honest with you guys, I think it just got overblown. I mean, if you think about it, is any player, after maybe an Eli Manning who has a no-trade clause in his contract, really untouchable? I mean, everybody has their price. And if you think about it, next year if the Giants have Odell Beckham Jr. and they're not able to reach a contract with him, they're probably going to slap the exclusive franchise tag on him anyway. Hence, you know, the reports about two first-round picks. But here's the thing you got to remember, guys. The Giants are not in a teardown mode. Dave Gettleman has said it. Pat Shurmur has said it. The moves they have made have said it. So why would you want to trade your best receiver if you're not in a teardown mode? If you're in win-now mode, you want all the talent you can get. So I just think these reports were overblown. They were, I'm not going to, you know, question people's sources. I think they might have been, you know, blurred a little bit, but I don't think Odell's going anywhere.
Well, I mean, okay, and that's fine, and maybe you're right about being overblown, but didn't Odell Beckham Brown say, I'm not showing up for anything, I'm not setting foot on the field till I get a new contract?
He did not come out and say that directly. That was reported, if I'm not mistaken. I think somebody cited a source or something like that. I don't recall seeing anything coming direct from Odell. Maybe I missed it, but I don't remember seeing that. So there's oftentimes when you have a situation like that, there is room for misinterpretation. And I'm not saying that's what happened, but here's the thing you got to remember, guys. Odell is coming off of an ankle injury, a season-ending ankle injury. He wasn't getting on the field anyway for the spring. He wasn't getting on the field probably until, you know, late summer, if at all, because, you know, they're not going to rush him back. They want him for week one. So all this talk about not getting on the field for the next few months, well, duh, he wasn't going to get on the field anyway because he's rehabbing. So, you know, as far as the contract, you know, what Odell probably, and you know, I don't want to speak for the guy, but if I were in his shoes, I would want him to hear from the Giants that, yes, Odell, we're going to talk about a contract. We're going to start going from the preliminary stages of talking to, excuse me, we're going to move this along. But right now, the other thing is they don't have the money to do anything with him right now. They'd have to make some moves. So I think if both sides are honest with each other and they express a commitment to be together for the long term, they'll get it done.
So just so I'm clear, you're basically saying that the report of him coming out and saying that he is not going to do anything until he gets a new contract is probably not true?
No, let me clarify, guys. Pat Shurmur said that Odell is making progress, that he is going to, you know, they're looking to have him on the field by training camp. So all this talk about him not sitting on the field for the spring, for the OTAs and all that stuff, he wasn't going to do that anyway, according to what Pat Shurmur said. So, and then, you know, there's still a matter of Odell needs to pass a football physical. Now, I know we see the videos of him training and doing all this stuff. But
the only video I saw was him with some woman in Paris with some weird powder laying next to him on a bed.
Oh, that's another story.
What kind of training is he doing?
It's great he's training, but look, here's the bottom line with Odell. If he were to hold out and say, you know what, I can pass the physical, but I am definitely not setting foot on the field until I get a contract. If he doesn't show up and play by week 10, his contract is going to toll, which means the Giants can basically take this year's contract and carry it over and continue to carry it over. And, you know, it's not going to help Odell, you know. And I know there's the factor of the distraction thing, but Dave Gettleman told a great story that I think made a great point. You can eliminate those distractions as long as the guy isn't coming in and, you know, not working and not doing what he's supposed to do and everything like that. You can live with the quirkiness. And Odell is too much of a competitor. I would be stunned if he holds out, you know, for the season. I just don't see that happening. But, you know, you never say never. You don't know. Nobody knows what Odell is thinking other than Odell. And, you know, but based on what I know of him and what a competitor he is, and how much it hurt, it was eating him up inside last year not to be out there to help. I'd be stunned if he, you know, says, you know what, I'm not getting on the field at all.
So, Patricia, now I want to look at it from the Gettleman side of you. When he was in Carolina, guys like, you know, Josh Norman, Steve Smith, D'Angelo Williams, veterans who were, you know, looking for and getting that kind of money, the kind of just, were asked to not, they didn't re-sign it in Carolina. Is that something from a historical perspective that as a Giants fan with our most polarizing player should make us nervous?
No, I don't think so, because what Gettleman is trying to do is he's trying to win. So he's, you know, he has said over and over, I'm trying to make the best decisions in the best interest of the team. And Odell, you know, I'm not questioning the fact that Odell is a tremendous talent, a once-in-a-generation talent. But, you know, you don't have these once-in-a-generation talents forever. You know, you look at Eli Manning, who is coming towards the end of his amazing career. You know, whether it be father time, whether it be an injury, whatever the circumstances is. And what's complicating the Odell situation right now is that ankle injury. You don't know how he's going to be when he gets on the field and starts doing football moves. Right now, you're watching videos of him training. He's sprinting. He's running against air. You know, and it looks great. And look, everybody's optimistic. But until you get him on the field and you see exactly where he is at going against, you know, live competition, you just can't make that kind of commitment because, you know, I know this was a different injury, but think back to when Victor Cruz was suffered his injury and everybody said, oh, he's going to be back. He's going to be just as good, if not better. And what happened? He had a setback. So you really, you know, Odell is that important to your team, which he is. Do you really want to risk that with rushing him back? You want to make sure he's right before you tie up a bunch of money in him.
Yeah, I mean,
that's also factoring into the equation.
I agree with everything you're saying there and rush him back, but I mean, he's become such a distraction. I mean, it's like, when is he going to grow up, Patricia? Like, I know you're around him, and I feel like the New York media, as tough as the New York media is on people and as tough as they are on their athletes there, they give this kid a pass. I was listening to the WFAN this week in New York, and I was listening to the new show that took over for Francesa. And one of the commentators on there was just bashing people for questioning his, you know, why, you know, what's wrong, all the fun police and leave him alone. And it's like, leave him alone. I mean, he scores a touchdown and it's always a penalty. I mean, he's been a huge distraction. And I would argue that he hasn't even had that. I mean, he's had a couple of amazing plays and iconic plays. I get it. But they've never won with him. You know, he feel like the teams become all about him. You know, and now there's all these rumors of he's going to hold out. And you're absolutely right. We know what happened with Victor Cruz. We have no idea the kind of athlete he's going to be when he comes back. My expectation is going to be spectacular. But why does the New York media keep giving him a pass with this stuff?
I don't think the media is giving him a pass. If anything, I think the media has been on him about his behavior. Here's the thing with Odell. he is a very, you know, he's globally recognized. His brand has exploded. Now, with that, you have to exercise some common sense. You want to get with a French model in your hotel room? Tell her, you know what? Shut your phone off. Give me the phone. We're going to put it away, and we're not going to let you have it until after, you know, we do whatever it is we're going to do. You know, the problem with Odell has always been, and it's actually a two-edged sword, as I see it. He's a very giving young man. He loves his fans. He wants to share as much as he can with his fans to make them feel, you know, more, even more appreciative towards him. The problem is he's allowing them maybe a little too much access into his life. Okay, we don't need to see him with a friend. And I don't even know if he knew he was being taped, but this is just an example. You know, do we need to see him with a French model? Excuse me. Do we need to see him, you know, go into a nightclub? And there's a very easy fix for that. If you remember, Derek Jeter lived the high life as well, and we never knew, you
exactly.
know, what shenanigans Derek Jeter was getting involved with, because Derek Jeter used common sense. He banned recorders and cell phones and videotapes and all that stuff. So you got to be careful about what you put out there, and you've got to take control of your brand. And I just think Odell and his effort to, you know, to increase the adulation from the fans, he's just not recognizing that. And I think if he you know, invokes the Derek Jeter clause, if you will, maybe some of these stories that are hitting the off season will, you know, never see the light of day. And then hence that reduces any distractions, if you want to call it that.
So, Patricia, we got about 1 minute left, and we've had a great conversation here about Odell, but Christmas is coming on April 26th. What do you see the Giants doing with number two?
My guess is it's going to come down to Barkley, Saquon Barkley, or I could see maybe Quentin Nelson. Right now, I'm leaning towards Saquon Barkley. And the reason why I'm leaning towards him is Dave Gettleman at the owners' meeting absolutely spoke glowingly of him. He pointed out that Barkley can do it all. He can run, he can catch, he can block. And if you think of running backs, when they come out of school, they oftentimes cannot do all three. There is a learning curve involved. And if you are in a win-now mode, you say to yourself, okay, my running game has been kind of, what's a nice way to put it?
Inept.
Hasn't been very good since 2012 when they ranked 14th in average yards per game. I think it was 116.4. Since then, they've been at or near the bottom in average yards per game. So I look at a Saquon Barkley, and I say to myself, okay, that guy is potentially the missing piece on offense, because I've got myself a good tight end in Evan Engram. I've got Odell. I've got Sterling Shepard. I've upgraded my offensive line. You know, there's still work to be done on offense, on the O-line, but they're a lot better than they were, you know, at the start of the year. I've got Eli Manning. You know, I just think that if they really want to push that offense up to the next level, you go for a Saquon Barkley. And if you remember what Gettleman said when he was hired, he said the three things you have to do to win in the National Football League is run the ball, rush the passer, and stop the run. Well, they've got guys who can, you know, rush the passer when they're healthy. They've got guys now who can stop the run. You know, they've improved the linebacker group. But they haven't really touched the running back situation other than to add, Jonathan Stewart, who is, he still has something left in the tank. But, you know, if you're talking about an impact-type player, I think you got to look at Saquon Barkley.
Patricia Traina, you're the best. Thanks so much for taking the time. Happy Easter this weekend. Enjoy the beginning of spring, and hopefully we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Take a quick break when we come back. I do want to digest this a little bit with you.
Your rant.
Okay, I know.
We'll be ready for your 10-minute Odell rant when we come back.
We'll be right back. I know I like to rant, man. I mean, I know I do. I mean, I understand that, but this Odell Beckham thing, it just fires me up as a fan. And as somebody that cares about that organization and the reputation of the organization, I mean, in the New York media, the big names in New York media, the people that are talking to, you know, that are on the radio every day and the frontline people, and I'm sure he's a great kid. I'm sure Odell's the kind of guy you want to hang out with. But when is enough enough with this guy? Like, when do you look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know, I got to get a grip on myself here. I want this big contract. I mean, I've done so many things not to get a big contract. I mean, seriously, Odell Beckham Jr., if you look at his resume, to me, if I'm the one that's got to sign the check, I'm looking at his resume and I'm thinking, yes, you're spectacular. Yes, you made one of those, the iconic one-handed catch. Yes, you're very fast. You scored a lot of touchdowns. But you're also a headache. In every big game that Odell Beckham has had in his very small career in the NFL and with the Giants, he's laid an egg. I mean, point blank, done, laid an egg. And the two games I remember specifically were the one playoff game he had where instead of, you know, really making this about the team, he decided to take his wide receivers, which was also had Victor Cruz, which was shocking. Victor Cruz went on that boat down in Florida the week before, and the pictures, and, you know, makes it all about him. And he comes out and he plays arguably one of the worst games of the year, drops the most important catch of the game, the most important play of the game.
It was a bad throw.
Yeah, you know, it was one of the bad. Eli Manning makes two good throws a year, and that happened to be one of them. He drops it. Okay? I get that. And then, you know, I think back to the year before that where they were close to the playoffs. They're playing the Patriots. A touchdown wins it. He catches the ball and allows Butler to knock it out of his hand. He just has not stepped up when you look, the NFL isn't always about just being spectacular. It's about coming through in the clutch. And now he's coming off a knee injury.
Or ankle,
whatever. Oh, ankle injury. That's right. I'm sorry. A big ankle injury where he had to have surgery. And, you know, now, Patricia's telling us that she's not sure if that was really him saying he's going to hold out till he gets a contract. But if that really is him or whoever said that, I mean, if he didn't say it, how does he not get in front of it? I don't get it. And then the picture of him with the girl in Paris and the powder next to the bed. How do you expect your employer to sign that money over to you when that's what your MO? Every time he scores a touchdown, there's a problem. I mean, he played against Philadelphia. The great game he played against Philly before he got hurt. Scores a big touchdown.
He had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, he had to go. So what? Why not do it right there like a dog? It's a penalty. I just don't get it. And I don't get him. And if I'm Dave Gettleman, I wouldn't just give him away. But if someone was going to give me a couple first round picks and I could get more players or more picks, I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. Because we keep saying, oh, he's going to grow up this year. He never grows up. So, like, when do you say when here? And how are you going to, and you cannot be held hostage to that kind of mentality. I just don't believe that. I just don't believe it. All right, rant over. But I had to say it.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
I have not. Last time, like, you've had a rant this good.
Yeah.
When you were bringing up the ghost of John Crotty with Virginia after they lost to UMBC a couple weeks ago. It was by far, I have to
Thank you.
That was wonderful.
Well, I mean, look, I got a lot vent up. This is like a whole week. This is how I get my emotion out, is this show, you know? But you're a big Giants fan, and as soon as this came out, you sent me the text. Get them out. Adios.
Yes.
Okay.
But now, as I have time to sit and kind of reflect, I don't like the antics, but I do like the fact that you have to put two defensive players wherever he goes, and it makes our offense better.
It hasn't made our offense better with him so far.
We don't know because he hasn't been there for 14 games.
And
when the offensive production, when he's there, is about 23 points a game. When it's not there, it's about 13.
Dez Bryant has not won a Super Bowl. Arguably the best wide receiver of the last, he was the next big thing. Never won a Super Bowl. You know, you don't win with these guys. Terrell Owens never won a Super Bowl. You just don't win with guys like this.
Yeah.
You win with Jerry Rice. You win with Mario Manningham. You win with Amani Toomer. You don't win with Randy Moss.
Well, and again, like we said when we were getting Patricia, the highest paid wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, they haven't won.
It's true. That's what I'm saying. So to make this out like, oh, you know, you can't get rid of him. He's like the greatest thing since sliced bread. A friend of mine said, well, what are you going to do? What's their offense going to be? I said, I don't care what their offense is going to be. It's been terrible for the last 2.5, 3 years. Let it be terrible again, but at least they're going to be younger and a little bit more explosive. Maybe they'll be a little bit more explosive because they're not relying on this guy. Go ahead, Aaron.
And Odell draws 2 in coverage. If he's as good as he looks right now, Saquon could be drawing 8 into the box. So if you lose Odell to escape the big money problems and the distractions, and you get Saquon, and he's as good as he looks, your offense is still going to come out better than it was before.
Wouldn't your offense be better if you have both of those guys, and now you have to make a choice? If you put 8 in the box, now you got Odell, Evan Ingram, Sterling Shepard. I mean...
But just like what we talk about with guys like Johnny Manziel... You know, in the back.
Johnny Manziel.
Let me get to my point.
Okay.
Johnny Manziel, Kaepernick, guys like that bring a distraction to your team, whether they're great athletes or not, it can help your team win. If they are at a distraction, you know how fickle winning in the NFL is, and you know that you lose your job year to year if you're not successful. I mean, you're really rolling the dice here with him. And then what happens? You know, and then you got to pay him. Are you going to pay him?
What if he produces this year?
What if he does? Then what? But again, he could produce this year. We keep saying this every year about Odell Beckham Jr. Is he gonna? He's gonna smarten up. I don't know what it is. He's a distraction. And I agree a little bit with what you're saying. And yes, the Giants are in win now mode. And I think as a fan, you appreciate that. But the point is that I don't know if you can win with him. I don't know if it's possible to win with him.
So let me ask you this, and I'll ask both of you this. Emotion aside, if possible, Jeff.
Okay. Trying.
Is Odell Beckham a Giant at the end of the draft?
I mean, that's a great question. I have no clue. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I'm not. Come on, yes or no?
You asking what I would do?
Emotion aside, is, sure. Do you think Odell Beckham will be a Giant
by
the draft?
I think he'll be a Giant because I don't think anyone will offer Gettleman or Shermer what you have to get for a talent like that. So yeah, I think he'll be a Giant. And the Giants have a lot of leverage with him.
I agree. I think he'll be here because I don't know if he's going to be able to put his foot in the ground with the injuries he's had last few years and the risk of suspension and stuff over what he's been doing between the picture and how outspoken he is. I think he's going to have no choice but to sign a contract with them that's going to work out for the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, again.
So, I don't know. I just, for some reason, I think Cleveland, if I'm Cleveland, okay, and I'm sitting there and I have Jarvis Landry, I have Josh Gordon. I have the tight end from Miami, who was pretty good last year.
Yeah,
I can now add Odell Beckham, and I can give up, let's say, number 4, and then one of those second round picks. You take that if you're the Giants, and then if you're Cleveland, you take Saquon Barkley at 1, and you are offensively. I mean, look at that.
No, I mean, listen, that very well could happen.
And that works out for both teams. That works out for the Giants.
But I will say this, Bernie. I don't know if just one number one and a couple number twos, I don't know if that's enough for Odell Beckham Jr. I think you need a Herschel Walker type thing.
Gave you number 4, the first pick of the second round and the last pick of the second round, you don't think that's enough?
I don't know if that's enough. I think I'd want, I think if I got there, if I think I got the 4th pick of the draft, They're both their second round picks.
They have
round
three
picks,
second round picks.
Two of those, and plus their number one pick next year, then maybe I do it. Maybe I do it then. But again, like, I mean, that's a tough decision to make, and I get that. This is less about the what the Giants would do or what they should do to, like, just fed up with Odell's antics. I'm just fed up
right.
with the
antics. Right, well, but then it'd be too easy, and we wouldn't be talking about it.
I know that. I would much rather not be talking about it.
We're not talking about Sterling Shepard, and he's been our most consistent,
I agree.
Or Evan Ingram.
And arguably, but right. Here's the point. Like, I don't want to talk about this. I want him to be a star.
Everybody
want
wants us to stop talking about the Giants
I don't
anyways.
Care what they want. I have to get it off my chest. Interesting news this week. This morning at 1:30, John Goodman, you know, the college basketball writer. He's with ESPN. You see him you see him a lot. He's a reporter with ESPN. Reported that John Becker is one of the names that are being thrown around for URI, University of Rhode Island, where you know that Danny Hurley just left. He's going to Louisville. No, he's not. UConn. He's going to UConn. I'm sorry. That's wrong. He's going to UConn. So that job is available, and John Becker's name is being thrown out there. That's interesting to me. And URI is a very large program. And that would be if John Becker gets that opportunity, I think you have to take that opportunity, don't you, if you're John Becker? That's a big deal, URI. Big stepping stone.
It is. It's a huge deal. It's a NCAA tournament team. It's a team that's, you know, the facilities that they're building and what they're going to do is tremendous. You know, it sounds like the according to the tweet by Goodman was assistant coach or associate coach, Coach Dixon, the guy from Florida Gulf Coast,
yep.
Cooley, who was an assistant at Kansas for a long time, and John, Coach Becker. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and how it shakes out. And you know, I wish I had more information information about it, but you know, we'll see where it goes.
I think it'd be very difficult, you know, for John, and I'm only speaking, I know nothing either, but I can't imagine if the University of Rhode Island came calling that any coach, you know, especially in a position that John's in, you know, would say it'd be a tough decision to make. All right, when we take a quick break, I'm going to cool down.
Again,
you know, I gotta take a deep breath.
Why would anybody want to take a guy who's coming off a broken ankle, who's a potential cancer? You take the two draft picks and you run.
And I haven't even been able to talk about my boy Stanton, who might hit like 150 home runs.
We'll get to that later. Thank you, Derek Jeter.
All right, when we take a break, we're gonna take a break now. When we come back, the Out in Left Field segment, guys, you're not gonna want to miss a special Easter edition of Out in Left Field.
And your Easter bunny story.
Oh yeah, I got an Easter bunny story. Don't go anywhere. Second week of our new segment, Out in Left Field. Aaron, what's our topic today, buddy?
All right, so woman is arrested for lewd comments towards an Easter bunny. So here's the story. In Mansfield, Ohio, the police say an Ohio woman has been arrested for making lewd comments to an Easter bunny. Authorities say they were called to Richmond Carousel Park in Mansfield Saturday after the woman made the comments while taking a picture with the Easter bunny. Arriving officials reported the 54-year-old appeared to be intoxicated with slurred speech and unsteadiness on her feet.
Not good. Not good. I mean, you know, and I'm going to tell you, I have a little experience in this, Bernie.
You were an Easter bunny, weren't you?
I was. One spring, when I was in my late 20s, I was asked for extra money if I wanted to be the Easter bunny at the University Mall.
Like the dude who, like, kind of sits there and takes all the pictures.
Yeah, like when you go to the University Mall and you walk by.
I don't go to the mall.
Ever went to the mall, you know, where Santa Claus sits, like I had a big chair and all these eggs all over the place and all this stuff, and people pay money and you sit on the you know, you get a picture with me, sit
so
on your
people,
lap, whatever.
People paid money to have their picture taken with
me. Yeah, but not necessarily
you're
me.
Big time.
Listen, if you know, well, it was a big head I was wearing, I'll tell you that. Basically, half the time, the Easter Bunny's head is like, it's bigger than like your body, but I had some weird things happen. I mean, I'm not going to lie, people are odd. I mean,
Like weirder than like.
I never had a drunk person yell
heckling
at me.
You?
Never had anybody heckle. Well, I had some hecklers, but it wasn't anybody like rudely heckling me. Like they were fun heckling me. But I had some people do some things that I thought were a little sketchy as
such
I was
as?
Sitting there. Such as, you know, sketchy.
What is sketchy? I mean, they.
Yeah, they. You know, like
they.
I did get petted like a bunny a couple times, which is a little uncomfortable. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, I'm not there for that.
How about any like weird picture scenarios?
Nobody asked me to do anything too odd. You know, I mean, it was pretty straightforward. But, you know, they were, you know, you can let your imagination go wild out of here, pal.
Well, that's why I'm trying to ask these questions. Like would adults get in the pictures with you?
Yes.
They would.
Yes. I mean, I had a couple people come up and just, like, there were a couple times, like, they wanted to take a couple pictures with me just to, like, adults. And I was like, this is a little, you know, I'm not into this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And were those kosher?
Most were good. I mean, the majority of these people were awesome. Like, most people were, yeah, but there were a couple. There's a handful of people out there, man, that are, woo! You know, I had to kind of be like, you know, give the bunny Heisman a couple times.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Why? What'd they do?
Well, they just, you know, uncomfortable. Made me feel uncomfortable. I felt a bit violated in the bunny suit. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm telling you, I can see where that would happen. But that's, you know, come on. Like, the poor, this person's just trying, you know, the poor Easter bunnies, and they're just trying to make everybody happy.
Well, but how do they know that Easter bunny wasn't being inappropriate either?
Well, I don't think, I wasn't being inappropriate.
No, not you. I didn't say you. I'm saying this one in Mansfield.
Well, I don't think, what are you talking about? How could she or he or whoever was in the Easter bunny be acting out when she's just doing a job? And let me tell you something. Wearing those suits is not easy. Okay, first of all, if you're claustrophobic, don't even do it. Because this bunny suit that I had to wear, the head like clipped onto the suit. I was like, oh my, like I'm in this. I'm out, you know, and the head's so big you can't see anything. You look out one little thing, you know, it's, you know, these people that get in these things and do this stuff, you know, they're really doing something. So I'm just saying, like, leave them alone. They're honest, hardworking people trying to make a couple bucks on the side, or maybe it's their job and it's hard to do that job. You sit in that bunny suit for 8 hours. I have to wear I wear the Mungo suit for Ramuntos in the 4th of July parade every year. Let me tell you something. That is hot and that's some work. That's some serious work in there. I'm just saying. I feel bad for those guys. Anyway, so I hope that everything worked out, that bunny. And again, second week of out in left field. Good choice this week. Good choice. Easter. You know, Bernie, happy Easter, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, okay, you're welcome. Nice. All right. Is it time to do some SportsCenter? Are you like done with this segment or something? Are you?
I'm done.
Yeah. You're done. All right,
yeah,
let's do
it. I want to go to right field.
You're not going to be in right field very. When are you guys going to get in the field? You must be a nightmare to be an AD.
Let's not talk about it.
All right, we won't. All right, SportsCenter time. I think this song is perfect, Bernie. As baseball season has begun. Major League Baseball, if you don't know, now you know, started this week. A lot of bad weather out there on the East Coast, but I got to tell you what, man, if you have a chance to watch baseball right now and you're looking outside, it looks cold and damp and dreary and still snowing in some places, it feels good to watch some baseball. And it also feels good to watch Giancarlo Stanton hit ropes into the stands. I mean, my goodness gracious, what a start of the season is for baseball. Red Sox last night, you know, I got to say this. As a Yankee fan, it's always fun when the Red Sox are not playing well. And it's hard to get too excited after, you know, one game, two games. It's hard to get excited after even 20 games, to be honest with you. I mean, it's such a long season. And for some people, we'll tell you, like, they don't even start paying attention until August. But fans like you and I, you know, we get into this. But, man, Red Sox Nation imploded, imploded after the first game of the season. And let's just.
It was ridiculous.
Imploded.
The Red Sox have given up. In two games, 17 innings of pitching baseball, they've given up runs in one inning.
Yeah.
And you think that they're gonna go now 1-161. It was hilarious. It was comical.
If you are, I mean, obviously, I think it goes for any, especially teams like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, the Cubs. I mean, the big market teams. But I read the Globe the day after the game. So on Friday, I read the Globe in the morning, and Dan Shaughnessy had written an article, and the comments on that article. Dan Shaughnessy, you've had him on a show a bunch of times here. The comments from the fans that were calling for Cora's job.
Unbelievable.
Wanted Dave Dombrowski fired immediately for the roster. You know, it was pretty funny. I mean, even I was like, even I went, I got to go to bat for Cora there. It's like, what do you want the guy to do, you know? I mean, talking, really upset that they allowed Addison Reed, the relief pitcher they got from the Mets last year. I think he's in Minnesota now. I guess he pitched really well for the Twins against Baltimore in their first game, and they were cool. Yeah. I mean, it was very, very funny. But if you are a Red Sox fan, you had to be very happy and very excited with what you saw out of David Price last night. I think one of the biggest question marks for Boston. Everybody knows about Chris Sale. You feel good about that rotation, but what would make that staff elite is if David Price comes back and is the David Price everybody thought they were getting when he signed.
Yes, and I think we can, you know, talk about that a little more because we got a caller right now.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Talk a little Mets.
Oh, we got a caller?
Jan.
Oh, Jan. Okay. Oh, we got to talk Mets with Jan. All right, Jan, good morning. How about your M-E-T-S, Mets?
Guys, I couldn't have been any happier on opening day than to have seen the Red Sox bullpen lay an egg. I'm raising my kids to be Yankee fans for the particular reason that I'm stuck with the cross to bear, having been stuck being a Mets fan my whole life. So yeah, it's a new season for the Mets, right? Hope springs eternal, that whole thing. We're strapped with a bunch of old guys. Our farm system is thin. There's not a whole lot down on the farm that's going to come up, and the cavalry is not coming to save us, to the rescue. But hope springs eternal. We've got a good pitching staff. If everybody stays healthy, just like every other team is saying right now, we'll be good.
But, I mean, really, how about the sadness in Mets organization with Rusty Staubs passing?
I'm glad that you brought that up, Burns. La Grande Orange. Everybody around here, probably, you know, the people who were Montreal Expos fans, he was really legitimately their first big star, their first big bopper bat up there. So the passing of La Grande Orange, Mets pinch hitter extraordinaire for a long time. Great guy, great character guy.
You know, I have to say this, I've never met you, but I'm assuming that we're around the same age. But, you know, when you start seeing athletes like Rusty Staub pass away, it kind of makes you think, wow, time just flies by.
We're old.
You know what I mean? I mean, you think back to those days, and I Rusty Staub was an iconic player, but when you start seeing that kind of stuff happen, it kind of hits home a little bit, you know, for me. So definitely a sad day for baseball. But in terms of a Mets fan, Jan, look, last year going into last season, the Mets were supposed to be the class of the National League East, and you may say you do have some older guys around in terms of the fielding, but that pitching staff is solid. And if you get anything out of that bullpen, the Mets could be formidable this year. There's no question about that. Aaron, did we lose Jan again?
He should still be there. He's not beeping.
I can only hear Bernie. It's weird. Like, it's almost like a voice from above where Bernie's voice is coming through. It's his honey is dripping into my ears. I can't hear Jeff, but I think I heard something about how we're a terrible defensive team, that we were supposed to be the class of the league last year. All that stuff is true, but we're always going to be the baby brother to the Yankees. I watched the Yankee game last night, and if you look at that lineup, I remember last week, Jeff, you were complaining about the lack of depth. They bring this guy up, and he is the spark plug, and they've got Didi Gregorius, who doesn't even get a whole lot of credit on any other team. The guy would be, you know, the star, the stud, but he's like the fourth guy you think of.
Yeah, I mean, can you hear me now? Can you hear me okay now, Jan?
Not so much. I can hear a whisper.
All right. Well, anyway, if you can or you can't hear me, the point is I didn't say the Yankees didn't have depth. I was just the Yankees. Everybody's got question marks. There's a lot of strikeouts in that lineup. But obviously, the way the season has started and the Yankee farm system, they've had a lot of depth. They look very, very strong. Should be a very interesting start of the season.
Jan, one quick question for you before we got to let you go. Who wins the Masters?
Who wins? Tiger, man. I'm going to ride Tiger Woods. Let's go. There's a bunch of good young Americans in the field. I don't want to see any European guys come out. Let's go, Tiger.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call, man.
Yeah. Happy Easter.
You too, my friend.
Happy Easter. Yeah, listen, when Masters talk, baseball talk.
NCAA Final Four,
big time.
NFL draft.
But in terms of the baseball
NHL,
piece,
hockey, NBA, winding down, great time of year.
There's no question about it. On the baseball end of things, you know, look, the Yankees
are the greatest team. We shouldn't even
good.
Play.
They are very,
shouldn't
very
even
good.
Play.
They're good.
Shouldn't
but,
even play.
Oh, stop it. And I didn't say, to Jan's point, that I said something last year or earlier, like last week, about them not having depth. No, there's no question. The Yankees have depth. I mean, if you see what they're doing right now with Greg Bird being out and now Aaron Hicks being out and Ellsbury being out and Frazier's out.
Just loaded.
And actually, the kid they brought up yesterday, the McHenry kid, he played for the Lake Monsters a couple years ago. He was here playing. He was under the Oakland A's organization at the time. So point being here is the Yankees definitely have a lot. But I would say, there's a lot of strikeouts into that lineup. But I'll tell you right now, those guys are going to hit some home runs. And if Giancarlo Stanton will continue to go the other way, Bernie, I mean, he literally has a chance to hit an obscene amount of home runs in Yankee Stadium. Obscene. And that's what he looks like he's trying to do. And, you know, Aaron Judge looks a lot, to me this year, Aaron Judge looks a lot more disciplined at the plate. Now, I know he had a couple strikeouts yesterday, but he looks like he's got a plan up there, where last year there were times where he looked lost. He's definitely made the adjustment. You heard Jan mention Didi Gregorius. Didi Gregorius is probably the most underrated shortstop in the league, does not get enough pub for what he does, and he's a shortstop for the Yankees. You know, they just brought in Brandon Drury to play third. He's looked really good. They stole Neil Walker. I mean, with the way the free agent market went, getting Neil Walker, that type of bat, is going to be important. And now with Bird out, him playing first base, plenty of kids. You know, you saw last night the big hit from Tyler Wade, the rookie that's playing second base for them. So it's a lot of fun to be a Yankee fan right now. But again, it's two games in. It's a long way to go. But you got to like it. But you also have to like it if you're a Red Sox fan, I think. I think if you look at what the Red Sox have, I think you got to feel good about that. And when you've got guys like Sale and Price, and again, I don't think Tampa's that good. I don't think they're a very good team. But when you have those two guys at the top of your rotation, you're going to be tough to beat. The thing that would concern me a little bit with Boston is, and again, it's two games, but they're having trouble scoring runs. I mean, I think that, again, you know, seems to be a little bit of an Achilles heel with this team. I mean, again, it's too early to kind of freak out about it, but, you know, you expect this, they got to score more runs.
It's, to me, kind of funny. The teams that I like, the Giants, last year didn't address the offensive line or linebackers.
Right.
It was miserable. The Red Sox, you know, you never know with Tyler, I think, what is it, Thornburg coming back?
Yeah, right, right.
You know, the bullpen in the seventh and eighth inning. Where's that link after six with the seventh and eighth inning?
Yep.
And the bats. And yes, it's two. It's early. It's two games. You know, Martinez and blah blah blah. But just a lot of questions that seem kind of simple to be answered that don't get addressed.
Yeah, I mean,
but again, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Stanton's on pace to hit 162 home runs.
That's true, very true.
And the Yankees are on pace to be 162-0.
And I will say this about the Red Sox too. You know, I don't know what else they could have done to address the offense, to be honest with you. I mean, they brought in JD Martinez. I mean, Benintendi has got the guy that's got to do it. Betts has got to do it. You expect a bunch out of Xander Bogaerts. You know, I think they still think they got a big bopper in Hanley. And by the way, Hanley's dreads are pro, huh? I mean, Hanley's got some, like, he's got some Manny Ramirez dreads going. Is he trying to be Manny Ramirez? You know, he seems like he's trying to be aloof like Manny was. He's got longer dreadlocks than the Predator. You ever see the movie Predator?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got longer dreads than that. And David Price, that's some pro beard he's wearing too, by the way. You're winning the facial hair and the head hair battle.
I just want to win in the win column. All that other stuff drives me cuckoo.
Well, I'm just telling you. I'm just saying. But anyway, you know, so but I think when you look at the Red Sox lineup on paper, you got to like it. Even last year, you had to like it. But again, you know, it'll be interesting to see. And JD Martinez's bat definitely fits the Fenway Park. But yeah, you know, but baseball started. I mean, you got to feel good about that. You got to feel good about baseball being back.
It's a great time of year and it's exciting. And, you know, again, I think it just speaks to what we talked about, how after day one, you know, the Red Sox blow it.
Oh, my God.
The Yankees go off and, you know, hit the three home runs, which, unfortunately, you were correct
right.
with the hot or not segment. Yep. I was close.
Yeah,
but,
well, listen, you know, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, Bern.
That okay, is correct. Absolutely. Okay. Well said.
Yeah,
well said.
You.
And it's just it's just funny, and it's good for baseball. It's good for everybody around here just to have that conversation to talk about, because it's no fun when one team stinks.
Depending on your perspective, if as a Yankee fan, if the Red Sox stink, I think it's a lot of fun.
Of course.
Right.
But I mean, it's okay. Let's put it right. It's more fun if they're both good.
It's more stressful if they're good. Because listen, and I'm sure this can go back and forth, and you can join the conversation if you'd like at 655-6672, 802-655-6672. You can call us or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at 655-6672. But, you know, when the Yankees and Red Sox are going at it, man, there's nothing worse than Yankee and Red Sox fans going at each other, man. It's like, it's stressful. You don't want to, as a Yankee fan, you don't want to listen to that. I don't want to listen to Bernie get in my kitchen about that. I hate that.
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, no, not you. You don't do any of that stuff. You're just perfect.
No, I never said I was perfect. I'm just a very...
You are one of those guys, Bernie, that literally, if there's a wound there, you put your finger right in it, man. I mean, you are one of those guys. You are one of those guys that as soon as you and Aaron, you're probably learning this as well about Bernie. Now, he's going to be passive aggressive on this. He's going to be sandbagging me on this. He's going to give me some example. But as soon as any of my teams lose or something bad happens to any of my teams, oh, man, he's the first one I get it from.
What do you mean? I was very supportive all winter for you with Virginia basketball.
They were 31-2. How could you be unsupportive? You had to be supportive of me. What do you want me to tell you?
Wait a second. Hold on. You're just calling me out for not being supportive.
Hold on a minute. How are you supposed to give me crap for the Cavaliers when they're 31-2?
you know, after both games, I was like, you all right? You good? I was never mean. I was never inappropriate. Congratulated you after they beat Duke, after Virginia Tech. Hey, it's all right. Better now than later. You know, all that kind of stuff. And now you're telling me that I'm that guy.
You are that guy. And you do that too, but you do it like the tongue-in-cheek thing. I know what you're doing.
What am
when
I doing?
When you get those texts like, are you all right?
I mean,
is everything all right? Like, don't worry about it.
You know, and then...
I know exactly what you're doing.
We have to play the Virginia UMBC team because it's an historic thing.
I agree with that. But why don't you tell me about that before you do? Why don't you say, hey, Jeff,
I just kind of figured you were so smart and intuitive about the show that you know that, you know, it would happen.
No, that's just not the way it works because I was off... I was taken off guard, okay?
Jeff, we didn't want you to have to dwell on it all morning, right. You know?
We didn't want to bring it up after the loss, be like, hey, should we lead with this? That's not cool.
No, so instead I walk in here, as I'm getting ready to say we're living the dream of taking it with us, I hear UMBC upsets whatever that stupid thing was.
The Retrievers.
The Retrievers. And I love, I have a Retriever, I love them, now I don't like
them.
You
mean this? You heard this?
Please turn it off. Please. Please, I can't deal with it. I'm just barely getting over it. I just want this tournament to get over with.
Well, but how are you going to handle one shining moment?
I'm not watching it.
Oh, my God.
I'm not watching it.
Are you kidding
me? I'm out, man. I am out.
The greatest
thing
for college.
I'm out. I am out. And I'm going to tell you, I mean this with all sincerity. When a team that I root for is expected or has a chance to get there, I'm jealous of everybody. Like, I am so jealous of my friends that are Michigan fans. Because, first of all, Michigan fans only come out. Michigan basketball fans only come out of the closet.
Careful. We got a Michigan
fan
who listens.
They only come out when they're winning. Like, you never hear a word from them all year long until they start winning games. You see on Facebook, go blue. You know, blue, maize and blue all the way. You know, I love my Michigan. Like, where were you all year? Like, you were nowhere all year. Now I got to listen to that. You know, I can't take that. That's why I'm hoping that the sister from Loyola can say a few Hail Marys. It's Easter weekend. Listen, God, listen for her today. Like, let's get Loyola win over Michigan. I'm so sick of Michigan.
There is no shot.
Of Loyola. Of course there's a shot.
There is no chance.
There is a shot, man.
You got to believe, Bernie.
I'm telling you.
Sorry. No shot.
Anyway, that's my thing. But Michigan, that's my point. I'm jealous of everybody. I don't want to. That's why I'm having trouble watching it.
You're not going to watch the Villanova Kansas game.
I'm going to peek in periodically.
I
don't know if I can sit there and watch. I don't know if I can. Even though my buddy Larry is, you know, he works with Kansas. We have him on the show all the time. I'll root for my buddy. Yeah, and I got a very dear friend that lives down in Massachusetts, a big time Villanova fan. So I want them to win for her too. And I love Jay Wright. Like, I just don't know. I'm so. And one shining moment, it was not shining for me, man. This tournament stinks. I can't take it.
Wow.
Anyway, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Red Sox baseball with our good friend from MassLive.com, Jen McCaffrey. Well, this is interesting. As we're getting ready for the next segment, talk some Red Sox with Jen McCaffrey from MassLive.com, which we got to connect with here. We just get a call from Jason Zillow. He's the head of public relations with the Yankees. So I had reached out to Jason. So we've had Jason on a bunch of times, and Jason is a very good friend. He is the guy with the Yankees. He runs all the public relations with them. So he is the guy that runs all the press conferences. He's the one that, I mean, he was part of the interview process for Aaron Boone. Like, it's a pretty big deal. He just called and he's like, you know, you want me to come on and come on like at 11:45? And, you know, I said, I had no idea you were coming on. It's just a crazy conversation. But Jason will be on either next week or the week after now.
Well, that's good. More substance, less banter for us.
Yeah, I know. We're getting some hecklers out here.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, listen. I mean, look, buddy. Look, I understand that, you know, sometimes you may turn this on and, you know, you want us to talk sports all the time. But sometimes, like, we're going to get it off our chest, right? And we're just talking here. Listen, just for the record, like, Bernie and I aren't professional, you know, hosts here. I mean, we have no background. Bernie and I are, like, sitting at the end of the bar and yelling at each other about things. That's what we do. That's what we want our show to be about. But I get it, man. He doesn't like the sophomoric banter.
Can't blame him.
Fair enough. I mean, we don't either.
Well, especially if you don't like the Giants, Virginia, or Duke.
That's all I know about.
Right, exactly.
And that's not true. We talk about everything. But anyway,
We never talk about my Boston Bruins.
I am a professional, and I'm hurt.
And you are a professional, Aaron. You are. Do we have Jen?
We sure do.
All right. And right now on the TikTok Drew's guest line, we're going to talk some Boston Red Sox baseball with our good friend from MassLive.com, Jen McCaffrey. Good morning, Jen.
Hey guys, how you doing?
How's it going? How was spring training? You must have loved that.
Yeah, it was
was a nice while I was down there, but been back for a little while, so it's nice to get the season underway.
I bet it has. So Bernie and I were talking in our last thing. We were talking a little baseball, and I have to say, so the Red Sox had a very tough opening day. Chris Sale started the season out incredibly well, and then, you know, obviously the very difficult eighth inning. But my goodness, Jen, Red Sox Nation imploded over that. What is going on with that fan base down there?
So Jen, opening day, opening day. Chris Sale. Chris Sale.
I couldn't hear you for a second.
Could you not hear me? Can you not hear me?
I can't hear. Can't hear you too well. I can kind of hear something. So.
Okay. So
my phone or
I'll let Bernie do the question.
It's on our end. So opening day. Chris Sale, you know, does his thing. He's tremendous. The sky falls in the eighth inning, and all of Red Sox fan base and nation just goes, they go cuckoo. It was crazy. Why did everybody lose their marbles, in your opinion, just after that first game?
Oh, sure. Did you expect anything less, though? I mean, obviously they lost that game in kind of a horrible fashion there. So, I mean, I wasn't expecting Red Sox fans to be happy with just having Sale. He lights out, always looking for that one thing to point that got messed up. And obviously it was Carson Smith and Joe Kelly didn't get the job done. So last night Price was terrific. So, you know, kind of turned the page, but that first game was was not what they were looking for.
Right. And I think you hit it pretty well by saying, you know, you look at the Red Sox pitching in 17 innings in two games, they've given up runs in one inning. And it's like, okay, I think that's pretty good. And everybody just kind of has to relax a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, people are always, you know, right to overreact on any little thing, especially, you know, with the new manager coming in and kind of the high expectations. You got J.D. Martinez they just signed. So, when are Red Sox fans never not going to overreact about the littlest thing? But, you know, I think last night's win kind of reset that. But yeah, at the same time, yep, it was kind of not surprising that people were pretty frustrated on the opening night.
Jen, can you hear me now okay?
I can hear you better now.
All right, we'll do it. Okay, so I guess the next question is now that we've gotten that first game out of the way, David Price last night was spectacular and the bullpen looked good. There's got to be a lot of excitement now. I mean, if Sale and Price can be the two-headed monster that I think all Red Sox fans are hoping for, that could be pretty exciting for the fan base.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what, you know, they've been hoping this could be. You know, last year Sale was terrific all season, you know, faded a tad bit towards the end. And, you know, you've been waiting for Price to kind of be the guy that you paid for. That first year was pretty good, but, you know, not spectacular. And obviously last year he didn't, you know, live up to expectations with the injuries and then, you know, was great out of the bullpen, but that's not what you paid him for. So, you know, I think this is a really big year for him, and kind of having those two guys as one and two. And if Porcello can maybe turn some things around, if Pomeranz can kind of have the same year as he did last year, once he returns, I think that you know, once they have some of these question marks figured out a little bit, they'll feel a little bit more comfortable.
So is there a better I mean, we talked about the Red Sox a lot, and in this – like last year going into the season, Jen, we had this conversation that the Red Sox were the hunted, right? You know, they were the team that was expected to win. They had just brought Chris Sale, and everybody was talking about them. And now with what the Yankees have done, the Red Sox can take that little – at least I think – to me on paper, I think the Red Sox still have to be the favorite. But I think the Red Sox can kind of embrace that little situation where they're now the underdog again. Do you see the team kind of trying to embrace that this year?
Definitely, yeah. I think, you know, Price specifically, I think, feels that way, especially coming off of last year, and we've seen how his kind of mood kind of drives the team. So that's one factor. But yeah, you know, everyone talked all offseason about what the Yankees did, and I think that's, you know, they were already very good and obviously greatly improved. So yeah, they do seem like the team to beat, and they've had a pretty good first couple games, so it's going to be an interesting race between these two, and obviously the Red Sox face them pretty quickly in a couple weeks at Fenway. I think it's April 10th or something like that. I think they come to Fenway, so it's pretty soon that they have a Red Sox Yankee series. We'll see how they match up, but yeah, I think the Red Sox do kind of revel in that sort of we need to prove something, you know, fact.
How about, you know, we talk about the bullpen. What's the status on, what is it, Tyler Thornburg, in terms of when is he coming back from injury?
Dombrowski said the other day that they're expecting about, they need him another month or so. I know he had been throwing some bullpen sessions. I think he just got into a minor league game for the first time to face guys, live batters the other day. So he'll need to do that a couple times. And then get, you know, into simulated sessions and kind of keep that going. But I could see him, you know, if this all kind of keeps progressing, I could see him maybe, you know, 3 weeks to a month he'll be back. You know, no setbacks, obviously. This is a pretty, you know, I know people have been frustrated by not seeing him, but it's a pretty significant injury, thoracic outlet syndrome surgery. You know, guys like Matt Harvey and Josh Beckett had it and never really have quite recovered. So I think the Red Sox are trying to take their time and not rush him because they know that, you know, they need him. So we'll see kind of how he progresses. But so far, the timetable right now is about a month until he comes back.
We are talking to Red Sox beat writer for MassLive.com, Jen McCaffrey, here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. So, Jen, you know, new manager, new leadership, a lot of new coaches on that coaching staff. I mean, do you sense a difference from the prior regime?
Yeah, it definitely feels a little bit more, you know, I don't know if it's just because of the new guys that are around and it's kind of just a new atmosphere. It just feels a little more relaxed. You know, the guys last night, you know, doused Cora with some beer or whatever after the game to kind of celebrate his first win. And, you know, I don't know. I can't really picture that happening with Farrell. Yeah, I mean, it feels a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more loose. But, you know, we'll have to, it's only the first couple games and we'll kind of have to see, you know, you can't really read too much off the spring training because, you know, it's again, spring training. So we have to, you know, see how they kind of come through some of these rough patches, if injuries crop up or if there are losing streaks, how they kind of handle those situations. I think that's how we'll be able to tell what this group is about.
You know, and I have to say, Jen, that, you know, he looks loose. You know, he looks like a young kid out there, which is much different than what you normally see in the Red Sox dugout with, you know, over the years with guys like Valentine and Farrell and Tito. You know, he just seems like a loose kid out there that's just having a good time. Even after the loss, he seemed very loose yesterday. I watched part of the game. I watched the end of the game. He just looks like he's having a good time.
Yeah, he's kind of talked about that all spring, too. It's just that he's going to stay, you know, true to himself. You know, he's mentioned a lot that, you know, he's only 42. He's not that far removed from the game. And, you know, that's kind of one of the reasons why they brought him in, is to kind of relate more to some of the younger guys and to make it more of a kind of a chiller atmosphere and not so tense about, you know, I think he said a couple times, you know, we're playing a game and we have to, you know, relax a little bit and not, you know, this isn't the end of the world. You know, we need to just, you know, focus on what we're doing, but at the same time have fun and not like lose sight of that. So I think he's done a good job so far of, you know, getting the guys to do what they need to do, but also just keeping them relaxed and kind of having a good time, because it seems, you know, in the past couple of years, as weird and, you know, that sounds, I think a lot of times they just got too tense and, you know, weren't having fun and that kind of compounds things. And, you know, one thing after another kind of piled up and they just kind of got too down on themselves. And obviously we know that can affect things, you know, on such a day-to-day game. So, yeah, we'll see how if he can kind of keep that attitude all season, but so far it's been a good thing for them.
You know, so Jen, look into your crystal ball after two games. You know, if you're Mr. Dombrowski come the trade deadline, what do you envision the one thing that the Red Sox are going to need to get over the hump, you know, to win a World Series this year when the trade deadline comes?
You know, if we're just looking at these first two games, I guess you'd have to say, you know, the bullpen. Maybe, you know, you don't really know exactly, you know, what you're going to get out of some of these. You know, Joe Kelly's been kind of up and down the past few years. Barnes has looked good these first few games, but you can't, you know, throw him out there every single game and expect him to be spot on. And, you know, Carson Smith, he was good at the end of last year, but we're expecting him to be, you know, just as good. But I think that if there's one thing that they want to, you know, shore up, is maybe just add another guy and maybe a lefty, because they're throwing Bobby Pointer out there who's never pitched above double A. So maybe that's something that they address. Of course, you know, at that point, once it gets to July, we might have other injuries that need to be, you know, positions need to be addressed because of injuries. But if you're just looking at these first two games, say that the bullpen maybe needs a little bit more solidified a little bit more.
And I'd say finally to end this thing, I mean, I got to be good for Red Sox fans to put on the television here Jerry Remy back in the booth. That's got to be great for Red Sox fans, right?
Yeah, you know, and when we saw him down in spring, he seemed really excited and happy to be back and just kind of back in the rhythm of things. So it does seem that that Red Sox fans really rally around him and kind of appreciate you know, having his voice in there. So it is nice to kind of see him back.
Jen McCaffrey, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
Jen. Good friend Jen McCaffrey, Red Sox beat writer. And we finally figured out the technical difficulties where I guess couldn't hear me talk, which is probably good for everybody, but, you know,
yeah,
I'm just saying it was good. But she's got great perspective. And again, you know, it's two games. We just had a text come out here. The Bernie says, when the season comes down to one or two game difference, it's a terrible opening day loss. It does make a difference. The game is no less significant than a game in the last 2 weeks of the season. And the person's right.
Yes.
Like, there's no question. I mean, they all count. Wins and losses count no matter how you look at them.
And that's going to be the one that you could say, oh.
If we had that one. Yep. But you have to also understand, in a 162-game season, you're going to have amazing, thrilling games you shouldn't have won, and you're going to have games that you should have won that you're going to lose. I mean, that's just going to happen to every team. You know, so, I mean, you know, again, you don't panic here if you're the Red Sox. And again, I think if you're a Red Sox fan, you feel good. But that bullpen does have question marks. There's no question about it. They're not healthy yet. They're not fully healthy with the Thornburg situation. So, you know, we'll have to see. But you have one of the, if not the most dominant closer in baseball ending games for you. And you have, you know, you've got a really solid starting rotation. I think we'll see a lot in the next couple games, because now you're not going to see the prices and the sales. You're going to see the Pomeranzes and the other pitchers and, you
Porcello
know, and Porcello. Yeah, you know how I feel about Porcello.
You love him.
No, he is just so, that guy is so 500 to me. He's just so 500.
The Cy Young Award winner is so 500.
Yeah, that you talk about living under a star that season. Like, the fact that he got I understand he had a great year.
You scrutinize him as much as you do Eli Manning.
I do, because I just think he's Mr. 500. But I'm just saying. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, you know what it is, baby. Hot or not. Look, you just jacked it. And it's a good week for hot or not. You did really well this week.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Don't go anywhere. Well, you know what that music is. That music is a new thing, just taking the world by storm. The new show, the new segment, taking the world, the country, the community, or maybe just this studio by storm. It's hot or not time.
Hot or not. We are playing hot or not. I've got takes, but are they hot or are they not? Now, hot or not is brought to us now thanks to our new sponsor, Superb Cupcakes. Are you looking for the perfect Easter treat? Our perfect treat this Easter? I'm sorry. Stop by Superb Cupcakes in Williston at the Taft's Corners Shopping Center. Try their lemon curd and Cadbury cream egg cupcake and so many more, offering 10 to 15 flavors daily, and they're open from 11 to 6. And remember, if it's not a Superb Cupcake, it's not a cupcake.
And they are open 11 to 6 today. Right, so get in there, get your Easter treats. I'm telling you right now, go in and see my buddy Joe, what I like to call Classic Vanilla Joe. If you saw, they did Fox 44 did a big thing on their shop, and Joe had one line in it. Okay, his wife Hannah. They're not really married yet, but they'll be married soon, I'm sure. Hannah, who I love, she is like amazing. All right, they open this together. Boyfriend, girlfriend, open this thing together, and Joe gets on this thing. The only thing he says on there is Classic Vanilla, and he holds up the vanilla cupcake. So that's what I call him, Classic Vanilla Joe. And his wife, Hannah, get down the Superb Cupcakes, Bernie. It's a big deal.
I don't know what was better, the excitement that Aaron has
he was
for this
fired
segment
up.
Or yeah. reading that. I mean, he was so fired. He got so excited. He was like stumbling.
Yeah. He missed a couple things. He's like so fired up about our sponsorship, man. That tells you how good Superb Cupcakes are.
That's
they are
right.
superb. So check them out in the Taft Corner Shopping Centers. And thank you for your sponsorship, guys. We're proud to have you.
I can't help it. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
All right. Hot take number one. The Giants will trade Odell Beckham to the Cleveland Browns for the 4th overall pick.
You want me to go first on this one, buddy?
Sure.
I would say no. I would say that I don't think Cleveland will trade for him, but I would say if the deal came down to the 4th overall pick, I would have to say that the Giants would have to get more than just that one pick. I think you'd have to get at least another first round at least next year but from them, and then maybe a couple second rounders. I mean, that's you need a lot more for Odell Beckham Jr., so I will say not hot.
Hot, he's out.
Fine with me.
Pretty simple. Again, I don't think that's enough. I agree with you, but I still don't think he'll be with the Giants.
All right. Well, number two, John Becker would be crazy to leave the Cats this year.
Oh, that's a tough one.
It is.
All emotions aside, I mean, I'd have to say from a business perspective, you got to say not. If he has offers out there that you know, can help him take care of himself and advance his career, he's got to take a look and do it. I mean, do I want to see him go? Of course not. But, I mean, from that standpoint, and he's got some interest, obviously, that we talked about today, you got to say, you got to say not, because he should look at going.
Yeah, I agree. I say not as well. I mean, I think especially a program like, and if we're talking about a program like what came up with John Goodman this past morning, where he tweeted that his name came up in the URI job search, I think if it's a chance to better yourself, you have to, you know, and what John Becker's done for our you know, our community and the university and the prominence that he's kept UVM basketball at for so many years is spectacular. And you worry that if this does happen and he does move on, if you lose some of these players that are already here, but John Becker, the man, John Becker, the coach, if the next step in his life is to go to a program like URI or whatever, wherever it takes him, you got to do it. And you have to understand it. So obviously be very sad to see him go, but at the same time, be very proud of him and excited for him if he does have the opportunity for the next chapter.
Just as long as he doesn't schedule Vermont.
Right. Or no, if he does schedule Vermont, come play here.
Yeah, okay,
like,
that's fine.
We just don't want to have to go. Like, come play here so we can see it.
Because he remember how hard it was for Vermont to get home games, exactly. So he should help us out if he goes.
Exactly. And give us good tickets. Because, John, if we want to go watch you play, like send some tickets, you know, that'd be good too.
You sound like Dave Hunter.
I'm about to go, wow.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, number three. The Celtics are still legitimate contenders in the East, even without Kyrie Irving.
Go ahead, Bernie.
Nah. I mean, it's not even close. Not because of the talent, but because of Kyrie and what he's done and the leadership and just having won that championship. I think that speaks more to the volumes than his play.
I mean, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to say hot. I still think they're contenders. I don't think the East is that, you know, the whole Eastern side of the bracket here isn't loaded with talent. I think that they're still contenders. They definitely have won
a contender?
A team that can potentially get to the final of the Eastern Conference finals.
You think this Celtics team can still get to the finals?
I do. I mean, I do. I think not the end. I'm not saying they'd get by Toronto, but I think that they have a chance.
Even better than Cleveland.
I don't know. Well, you might be right there, but you're asking me, are they still contenders? I said yes. I think they're still contenders. Whether you think they're going to beat them or not is the other thing. I would tell you that they're not going to. I don't think they could beat them without Kyrie. But to say they're not contenders with the talent, I mean, they're not one player, and they're coached by a brilliant coach. You can't tell me they can't contend without Kyrie Irving. I don't believe that.
Well, okay, they're pretenders.
Okay, fair enough.
Either Loyola, Chicago, or Kansas will upset in the Final Four.
I say hot. I say one of those teams is going to win. I mean, you know, you got a Kansas team that's really hungry against what I think is the best team left in Villanova. And you got a Loyola team, like, you can say what you want about small, you know, low mid-majors or low mid-majors, whatever you want to call them. I mean, they're playing great basketball. And, you know, Michigan is playing great basketball as well. And you know, you don't like their matchup with Michigan, but why not? And in a year that there's so much parity in college basketball, I would say why not? And I would not be shocked at all if you didn't have two upsets, let alone one, this weekend.
The upsets have already happened. This is a not. Michigan is just way better than Loyola. Loyola has no one who can match up with the man in the middle. And their guards are just a different type of guard that Loyola hasn't seen all year. Kansas Villanova, going to be a great matchup, but Villanova has been one of the best teams, if not the most consistent teams all year. And I just think Michigan Villanova rolls, so we're going to say not.
Giancarlo Stanton will hit over 65 homers this year.
Hot. Not even close. He's on pace to hit 162.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy, I mean, with that short porch and the home runs he hit on opening day and what he's going to do in Yankee Stadium, it's like watching a wiffle ball tournament with this guy play. It's a joke.
And I will piggyback that. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to happen to do that. Obviously, you have to stay healthy and all that stuff. But if he does, I mean, why not? I mean, he could hit 80. I mean, with what he's doing, and he's trying to go the other way, if he continues to do that, he stays healthy. I mean, 65 might be low for him.
And who are you going to pitch to in that lineup? You look, I mean, Judge is hitting second.
No, like, I know,
are you kidding me?
I mean,
the Yankees are, I mean, they're the, I mean, this is,
for the next 10 years, they might not lose. It's like Virginia this year in basketball. Oh, sorry.
No comment.
Well, I was going to ask follow-up, will he hit over 73 and break Barry Bonds' record? But you guys already answered that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's
in play.
I think it's very in play. I totally agree.
All right. Well, A-Rod is or will be a better broadcaster than Tony Romo.
Too early to tell, so I'll say not. I mean, I think they're both pretty good. I thought A-Rod, his insights on opening day were spot on, but you have so much time to prepare for that. It'll be interesting to see how he does, like, kind of in the day-to-day basis, where football with Tony Romo, it's a week-by-week thing. So I think, you know, to compare those two might be a little more difficult. So we'll say... I don't like either of these guys, so I'll say hot. Okay, A-Rod.
Yeah, I'm going to say hot too. I think A-Rod is such a baseball junkie and loves it so much that I think he's going to prepare himself so well that he's going to be very good at it. You know, Tony Romo was, he got, you know, people really like Tony Romo, and I thought he
was pretty good.
He was pretty good.
Not as good as Phil Simms.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good argument as well. But I think A-Rod will prepare himself. And again, you know, you're talking about two guys that are new to it. So it's not like you have a situation where, you know, Tony Romo's been doing it for 10 years and then A-Rod's trying to get there. It's two guys that are just starting. But I'll say hot. I know, you know, I don't know A-Rod personally, but if you read anything about A-Rod, he's a baseball junkie. He loves it. So I'd expect him to be very well at it.
Personally, I really like Tony Romo as a football junkie. Get that analysis in my veins.
Yeah.
All right. Sister Jean is stealing too much of the athlete's thunder for Loyola Chicago.
No, that's a not. That's a big time not. She is a breath of fresh air in something that I think in, you know, the social media world and the things that we seem to get excited about all the time. She's a breath of fresh air. She's a wonderful woman. She's a part of a very special program over there. And I'm actually excited to see her more than the game. I think she brings a lot to the table. I'm happy that she's there.
You're right. But how many points has she scored in this tournament?
It's not about that, though, I don't
it's
think.
It's not?
No, I don't
if
think
you
it's
don't, not. If you don't make a basket, you can't win?
No, I mean, I think you're missing the point about what she represents here, though. I mean,
I totally get what she represents.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
so you could say the thing about Mrs. the Musselman kid. Go ahead.
Based on the way they do compensation in the NCAA, it seems that it's never about the points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
That's another debate, too. But
I'm going to say hot. I mean, I think it's cool. I think her story's legit. I think it's awesome, you know, that she's there. But, I mean, this is about, I mean, let's pay tribute to what these guys have done.
Yeah, you guys are.
Now, wait, come on. I'm not saying it's not cool and it's not a good story, but I think that there needs to be a little more focus on what this coach and what these players have done.
Well, and go ahead.
She had a press conference overlapping with one of the players, and the player had one journalist.
Well, I mean, again, you know, but that's preference. I mean, you're going after a 90 something year old woman.
I'm not going after
the question is, you're asking to debate. I mean, I think she's a breath of fresh air.
I don't think
there's anything wrong with it.
I agree.
You know, I think the Loyola is getting plenty of pub. People are on the Loyola.
Can you name any players on Loyola?
No, but I can't really name any players on Kansas or Michigan. And it's okay if we know Sister Jean.
Of course, it's
a breath of fresh air to me.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying because of her stardom, she's taken away from the players.
I disagree.
Sister Jean, if you're listening, you're a very sweet lady.
She is. Okay.
She is, and so, I'm glad she's there.
This next one might take a little prefacing.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about the first pitch of the Marlins game?
Well, it sure did.
On Thursday? Do you want me to play the sound now?
I missed it.
I'll play the sound now. This was on the Le Batard show. They were broadcasting at the same time. They had their producer Guillermo at the game.
Right. He's, come on, Jose. Let's get this started already.
Baseball's problem, right?
We'll wait you out. We'll wait you out for the zip line.
I just kind of kicked all over with his shoe. What he just wrote. Oh, here we go.
All right.
And the wind up and the pitch. Oh God! A home run on the first pitch of the game.
Oh my God! Welcome, Derek Jeter, and that concludes our Marlins coverage for the season.
that first pitch was what Derek Jeter deserved and what we all expected from the Marlins this year, hot or not.
I'm going to take this first.
No. I'm hopping in. It's so hot because then when you go to north of the border, Stanton hits, two home runs. It just all came together. Derek Jeter, the mastermind, taking care of the pinstripes. Hot, hot, hot.
Okay, it's not. And get off Derek Jeter. And Lebatard, if you were so, Dan Lebatard, listen, I know you got a lot of fans out there, but if you're so fired about the Marlins and what they did, how about you doing something for them when they actually had a team that could compete and put butts in those seats in Miami?
That's Derek not Dan Jeter, Lebatard's problem.
Well, Dan Lebatard seems to have a problem with what Derek Jeter did. The reality here is this: Derek Jeter took.
Let me finish.
Derek Jeter took.
Rant.
Derek Jeter took over a broken organization in a very bad situation. And is rebuilding. They were going nowhere. Derek Jeter is not about being 500 and being in the middle of the NL East.
He traded like four All-Stars.
He traded guys that make a lot of money and that we're not going to win with him. Derek Jeter's doing it the right way. And if you want to bash Derek Jeter, bash him in 5 years. Watch what this guy does with his organization. He knows what he's doing. But Dan Lebatard, it's all about in front of it. You know, I can't believe you trade Stan. I can't believe you get rid of these guys. You never won with them. It's just like the Giants with what's going on with Odell Beckham Jr. What Derek Jeter is doing is perfect. I'm going to say not. He can have his fun with them. But at the end of the day, Derek Jeter will have the last laugh. I promise you that.
That was Hot or Not, powered by Superb Cupcakes in Williston, our new sponsor.
Yeah, thank you, Superb Cupcakes. Thank you, Aaron.
That,
nice question.
That segment was as delicious as a Superb Cupcake.
All right, we're going to take, and those are unbelievable. Check them out in the Taft Corner Shopping Center. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on this show. Don't go anywhere. You know what I failed to mention to you, Bernie, is that in the baseball talks, that the Red Sox have our number one in one thing right now.
Payroll.
The highest payroll in baseball. And how about those Yankees are number seven? Oh, I love that. I love that. That little engine that could, the New York Yankees.
They are.
It's good stuff. By the way, Bernie, I have to say, I meant to say this earlier as well, is on Sunday, I had the opportunity to watch you coach a little bit in your AAU. Very, very composed, very focused. I was very impressed.
I learned it from watching you, Jeff.
Two of my favorite people of all time in front of me when I was in fourth grade. My favorite player in Rutland, Jeff Eaton, wore number 11. I wore number 11 for a long time because of him. Broke my heart. The 1984 Rutland High School team that was undefeated.
Matt Johnson.
Yeah, Matt Johnson came to Rutland, broke my heart. I cried for a week. I was in like fourth grade. I'll never forget that.
Worse than the Virginia loss?
Oh, yeah, man. That was very, very, very rough for me. That was a tough loss. But watching you two face off, I'm like, oh, my God, two legends, two Vermont basketball legends head-to-head here. Pretty good stuff.
It was awesome.
You hate when I talk about you.
Yes.
You hate it. Hey, guys, listen, we are Sports Saturday. We are here every week from 10 to noon. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and happy Easter, everybody. We're living the dream. We're taking you with us. See you next week.